Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We're going to continue with our look in the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Luke chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 15. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Thank you, Father, for this day where we could gather in your name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you work in our hearts today as we draw our attention to your holy word. Would you reveal yourself to us, Jesus Christ? Open our eyes today, open our hearts today, open our minds today, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. Well, it's a prayer that we pray every Sunday. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, there's a section that we pray, and we just prayed it today, right? Lead us not into temptation. And how does it go? Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So today's text, it's really about that, right? It's about temptation. And concerning temptation, I don't know about you, but, you know, I struggle with that, right? I feel like I fail. Every time I pray, I'm like, oh, man, once again. I succumbed to my temptation, the temptations in my heart. And so this prayer is also interesting because who is the one leading us into temptation or not into temptation? Is it God? What does it mean to be delivered from the evil one? What does that mean? And today we're going to look at Jesus actually being tempted. So, does God tempt us? Well, in the book of James, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So temptation comes when our own desires are pulled and enticed, it says. You know, this happens quietly. It happens subtly, doesn't it? And it happens from the inside. It happens from the inside out. So let's keep that in mind as we look at the word today. 2 weeks ago when we met, we talked about Jesus's baptism, and one of the concluding slides that I had, I said, where Adam failed, Jesus succeeds. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeds. And we'll see that today playing out again. Because when we read through the temptation of Jesus, it parallels almost the temptation that takes place in Genesis. And so we'll look at that as well. So let's pick up the text. As a reminder, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And what happened? The sky opened up, and then the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. So the Trinity was present, and God speaks. God the Father speaks. He doesn't speak too many times in the New Testament, but he speaks here. And what does he say? You are my son. This is my son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. God is saying that he loves Jesus, not because of what he's going to do, or not because of anything that he's done. It's just because God is God, and he loves. And that's true for us as well. Amen? Amen. Right? God loves us for who we are. Not because we said a special prayer, not because we put a special envelope in the offering plate. That's not why God loves us. He loves us because God is love. He is proud of us. And so that's what happened. So I don't know about you, but if you heard these words from God, an audible voice from God saying, I love you, you are my child, I am pleased with you, that would get me going, right? Wouldn't you be motivated to do more for God if you just heard these words every day? So imagine Jesus, he just heard this, and now what happens? Well, he is sent out into the wilderness, led by the Spirit, it says. So let's look here. Verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. There are three accounts of Jesus being tempted. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke is the only one that says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He left the Jordan where he was baptized, and the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. What is the wilderness? It's a place where there's no life. It's not the place you would go for a retreat. When we go on retreats, we want to go to a place where the men went on a retreat. We want to go where there's plenty of food, right? Well, too much food. And fishing, we were on a boat. And so whenever we're planning a retreat, we want to plan where we can just go relax, enjoy nature for a little bit. But no one's saying, well, let's go to the desert where there's no life. But Jesus was led. He was sent to be in the wilderness. It says, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. That's not the kind of retreat I want to go on. Right? There's no food for 40 days, and you're being tempted by the devil for 40 days. That was tempted for you Greek geeks out there. That's in the present participle. So what does that mean? That means it's an ongoing action. So it wasn't just tempted once, but it was for 40 days. He was being tempted by the devil for 40 days straight. He was being tempted by the devil. So we see three temptations here, but this is not it. He was being tempted the whole 40 days. And who is this devil? Can we even say devil at church? Yes, because it's in the Bible. Devil, also known as Satan. He's mentioned 7 times in Luke and Acts. And in the Greek, the name means slanderer or accuser. So that's the devil here. John actually says in 12:31 that he is the ruler of this world And we're going to see how he plays that card later with Jesus. In John 8, he's also mentioned as a liar and the father of lies. So he's a liar. Anything out of his mouth, just assume he's lying. And 1 Peter warns about the devil as well. He says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So he's not someone that we should really ignore. We don't really talk about him a lot, but when he shows up in the Bible, we do talk about him. But he's not someone that we could ignore. So we need to be ready to deal with the father of lies, the ruler of this world, and the roaring lion that's ready to pounce on us. So how do we prepare ourselves? Well, Jesus gives us a great model here. So let's continue. After the 40 days, after eating nothing for 40 days, the Bible says here, at the end of them, he was hungry. Anybody here fast for 40 days? No? Anybody here fast for more than a day? Okay. 2 days? 3 days? All right, 3 days is the max here? Okay. So, when you fast for 40 days, I've been told, I haven't done it either, initially you get really hungry, but then afterwards your body kicks into fat burning mode and then you actually feel good, they say, you know. And then you're not actually hungry anymore for a while, and then you get hungry again. So when you hit hunger the second time, that's your body saying, you're going to die soon, you better eat something, okay? So if you've been fasting for 40 days and you're hungry, that means that's the state you're in. It's you are weak, you need to eat something, or something bad is going to happen, physically speaking. So that's where Jesus is. Now, sometimes we read this text and we go, well, Jesus, you know, he's fully God. Yes, but he's also fully man. So just because he's fully God and fully man doesn't mean that he could turn into God mode anytime, because he's 100% man as well. So the humanity side, he is physically hungry. He is famished. And I'm sure physically he's ready to eat something. And so this is when the devil tempts Jesus in our text. How does he tempt Jesus? He says, if you are the Son of God, right? If you are the Son of God. So he's introducing doubt. Doubt about what God had already told him. I said earlier, this is what God said at the baptism, 40 days prior. God said, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So the word of God already said this with his own mouth, that you are the Son of God. So why would the devil tempt him this way? Well, because first, he's saying, if you're the Son of God, should you be suffering this way? Why would you suffer this way if you are the Son of God? If you have created everything, why would you suffer? I think that's the same way he tempts us, doesn't he? God said he would never leave you or forsake you. Why are you so lonely today? God said he is Jehovah Jireh. He would provide for you all your needs. And yet here you are looking for a job, day after day, week after week, month after month. Some of us here have been looking for over a year for a job and can't find a job. If you are a child of God, why are you suffering? It's so easy to be tempted, especially when you are in need. Jesus was in need to eat. And so Satan knows, the devil knows what God said. So he's trying to get Jesus, he's trying to get us to doubt God's word. So he says, tell this stone to become bread. Do things your way. Ignore what God says. Do things your way. Take matters in your own hand. Boy, a lot of times I struggle with that. God would say something and you would wait. How many of us are holding on to God's promises where he hasn't fulfilled it yet? You know, and every day, you just write it out. And there are some days where you're like, you're okay with God not answering yet. You're just holding on to God's promises, and you just continue to have your relationship with God. If you're praying for a relationship that's broken, that needs to be healed. If you're praying for that job, if you're praying for just wanting to do something that God has called you to do and the doors has not opened yet, you just continue to pray and pray and pray. But then there are those times when you're feeling weak. You know, maybe physically you're tired, emotionally you're tired. And instead of waiting for God, you just start to make things happen on your own. And we have a lot of capable people here at church. And we could do this. But when we do this on our own, and we're doing it outside of God's will, that's what God doesn't want us to do. He wants us to be patient. He wants us to wait. And when we're weak, we fall into that temptation, and then we just jump all in. And then, of course, it ends up being an utter failure. Tell this stone to become bread. Jesus could do it. I mean, later on, we see Jesus feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish. So Jesus has the ability to do this. But that was not God's will for him. So even though he was weak, even though he was hungry, he knew. He knew the will of God. And so how does he deal with this temptation? Of course, he goes back to the Bible. Right? Jesus answers the devil, it is written. It is written where? It is written in the Bible. So when you see that it is written, that means this is God's word. This is what the Bible says. Man shall not live on bread alone. This is very important, church. First, that Jesus was able to say this. Because for him to say this meant what? It was in his heart. The word of God was in his heart. He didn't say, hold on, Satan, let me go get my Bible. Or nowadays, we don't even do that, right? We just go to the computer. Where in the Bible does it say? Right? We've all done that. Amen? Right? ChatGPT, AI, you know, we all do that. Jesus didn't have that. Right? He just knew how to respond. Why? Because he was in God's word. And back then, they didn't have Bibles like this, or they didn't have phones. You know, we carry on our phones. We have everything in here, all different versions. We got everything in our Bibles. I mean, our phones. He didn't have this. So he's in the desert for 40 days. And he's meditating probably on God's word, but he doesn't have this to read. So he's thinking about the words that it's buried in his heart. That means he spent time in God's word before all this happened. So how do we prepare? We need to be in God's word. And a great way to do it is writing it out. Amen? All right. So he's in God's word. And actually, he was in the wilderness, and the text that he quotes, anybody knows this, where this comes from? Man shall not live on bread alone comes from? Deuteronomy. Do you know what chapter? 8-3. Wow. Margaret's ready. Amen. Okay, Deuteronomy 8:3. Let me read the whole verse. It says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." That's the entire verse. Jesus was in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 6, he also quotes from Deuteronomy 6 later on, Deuteronomy 6, 8. That whole section was when Israel was in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That's that section. So I wonder, as he was in the wilderness for 40 days, he was probably thinking about Israel being in the desert in the wilderness for 40 years. Where it's recorded how Israel failed God many times, and yet God provided. Because he was thinking about this, he was able to spit out the answer right away. And the whole point of that text is what? Life is not sustained by food. It's not about the food, but it's about the Word of God. Do we have that same attitude, church, towards the Word of God? Sometimes if we run out of food here, people get all upset, you know. But nobody gets upset that we don't have enough Bibles, which is not true. We got plenty of Bibles in the back. Because right? we let our flesh control us. So every now and then, the church will call for a time of fasting and prayer. And the reason why we do that is just to remind ourselves, hey, this life is not about food, but it's about the Word of God. Don't let your belly control you. We have control over our bodies, amen? Amen. We're not going to fast soon, right now, but we may. You know, Lent is a time where people fast, and it's not because we have to do it, right? A lot of people give up chocolate or this or that, fish on Fridays, you know, they give up meat. It's not about giving something up, but it's about what's behind the giving something up. It's about letting the flesh know it's not, you're not controlling me, belly. But it's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. You're telling your body who's in charge. That's what it is. Even going out in the wilderness, Jesus going out in the wilderness, physically going out, was also symbolically saying, as I go out into this dry land, I am depending on God to live. And when we fast, that's what we're doing too. We're saying, I am depending on God. And we need to. We need to depend on God and His Word. So he combats the devil with the written word. You're going to see here that the devil is pretty persistent. He doesn't give up. So let's try again. So here in verse 5 it says, "The devil led him up to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world." So this is more like a vision. All the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Now Jesus, yes, he is the King of Kings. But his kingdom is not here on earth. So you see how the devil is tempting Jesus here once again. He knows he's the King of Kings. And so, hey, once again, you're the King of Kings. I can give all this to you. And everything that comes with the power and the authority of being ruler of all the kingdoms. You're going to get splendor, you're going to get glory, but that's not the kingdom Jesus came here to establish. Actually, the kingdom that Jesus came to establish is by him humbling himself, and it's going to the cross, living the lowly life. He gave up everything. He had all this, and he gave that up. And so when the devil tempts, he's not telling Jesus, oh, you should go commit moral failures. He doesn't want him to go do that. But he's tempting him with what Jesus came here to do. Because he knows if Jesus doesn't die on the cross, then it's a win for Satan. So once again, what does Jesus say? He answers, it is written. Once again, the Bible. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This comes from Deuteronomy 6:13. Because what the devil wanted him to do was commit the first, violate the first commandment. Right. So worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the persistent devil doesn't give up here, and he catches on. Right? Okay, Jesus, you're answering everything with, it is written, it is written. So, let me tempt you with, it is written. He takes him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you have your study Bibles with you, it would say it's about, how high is it? 450 feet. Okay, that's what it says. So he's up 450 feet. And then he says, once again, if you are the Son of God. Okay. So he's coming back again. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Okay, now the devil, Satan, is using God's word to tempt Jesus. That's very important for us to note here. Sometimes the devil will use God's word to tempt us, because he'll take something out or he'll take it out of context. And we have false teachers who are doing this. They're all over the internet. So we need to be careful as well. Just because we hear it is written doesn't really mean that's the truth. So be careful what you listen to, who you listen to, and how you listen to God's word. Amen? So the devil says, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Look, Jesus, you're the Son of God. God will rescue you if you jump off the temple. Do it. Let's prove to everyone who God is. Where does this come from, Margaret? All right, Psalm 91. There you go. There's no cheating. Psalm 91. Verses 11 and 12, to be exact. Let me read that to you. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So that's what he quotes. Let's prove to the world who God is by testing God. You know, that's really what the devil's doing here. But that's not what faith is, right? Faith doesn't manipulate God. And trust doesn't demand proof. Okay? So, of course, this is what Jesus says. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This also comes from Deuteronomy 6:16, where it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Massah referring to Exodus 17. Thank you. So that's how crafty the enemy of our soul is. He is a very crafty individual. The funny thing is, if you actually went one more verse on Psalm 91, this is what it says. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. So conveniently, the devil takes that verse out, where it talks about how the serpent will be trampled, right? You see how easy it is to take Bible verses out of context and believe in the wrong gospel. Many churches are doing that. And so you need to pray. Pray for me that I don't teach that. Amen? So Jesus combats the devil again. So after 40 days, and these three are the highlights, it says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, it says, he left him until an opportune time. Underline that, right? Until an opportune time. It's not once you cast him out, it's over. No, he is persistent. Afterwards, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So there's a lot to learn from here, but I have just three applications or teaching points here from the text today. First is, expect temptation after obedience. We need to be ready, church. A lot of times when you, and there's songs written about it too, like you go to a retreat, you go up the mountain, you have this mountaintop experience with God. You feel so close to him. You feel like you're ready to do anything for God. And then the next day, not even the next day, on your way down the mountain, something happens. Yeah. Something may happen on your way out today, you know. I could talk about this, but there's a, not here, at a different church where they have parking lots, you know. After service, everybody was on a spiritual high. Everybody's praising God. They're singing, how great is our God. They leave the church, and then in the parking lot, a little fender bender happens, and then they're ready to kill each other. Right? What just happened, right? You just had this mountaintop experience with God. You know, you left church all high with God working in you, the Holy Spirit's working in you, and then, boom. I wonder if that's a temptation. Yes. And see how we, if we're not ready, if we're not prepared, you know, we need to be ready, folks, that anything could happen. Do not be surprised is the one lesson I've learned as a pastor. Don't be surprised. Anything that you can imagine can happen. And are you ready for that? I don't have to prepare you for the mountaintop experience. But as your pastor, as your shepherd, I feel like that's what we all need to be ready for is, you know, you get that phone call that totally just changes your world, turns your world upside down. Are you ready for that day? How do you respond when that happens? We can't respond from our flesh because we will fail every time. But if you're in the Word of God, if you're full of the Holy Spirit as Jesus was, then you know how to deal with the temptation that comes after obedience. It only comes from our relationship with Christ. You know, this is not something you could will, like, okay, I'm going to respond differently from now on. I'm going to be ready. You know, we can't do it with our will. It's only through Christ we're able to do this. Second is, of course, respond with God's word. So if you're not in God's word, you can't respond with God's word. Don't go to ChatGPT. The devil is tempting me right now. What should I do? Let's be in his word. My prayer is that with this writing exercise that we're doing, that God will just draw you into his word, that you have a greater appreciation. That's what I mean, I've been in the Gospel of Luke this whole year. I read it 100 times, these chapters. And yet, I just wrote out chapter 1, and God is still speaking to me. And I have a greater appreciation. I shared this with our prayer group, but the care, just imagine the care that Luke put into writing the gospel. I'm copying and I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not making any mistakes as I'm copying his word. But imagine Luke writing this after doing all the research, after interviewing, and he put all that care into writing the gospel so that you and I could benefit from reading God's word. There's a lot of care that went into writing God's word. So I just developed a greater appreciation just from writing out one chapter. You know, and that's just my story. But what about you? My prayer is that God will just continue to work in you. The Holy Spirit will just continue to draw you closer to him. God speaks to us through his word. Amen? Hear from him so that you could respond with God's word. And lastly, trust in Christ. Not your will. Jesus, he lived the perfect life. Even the temptation. He submitted where we struggled. He resisted where we failed. And he stood firm so that we don't have to stand alone. We could stand with Christ. Trust in Christ. Don't use your will. You will fail. No wonder James said this, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So because Jesus defeated temptation in our place, we could trust him, and temptation tests our faith. So the next time we pray the Lord's Prayer and we come across this section, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, let us remind ourselves that we are just not praying uncertain words, but that Jesus, he lived that prayer for us. Amen? So with that, let's come to the table. Let's prepare our hearts right now, So let me pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you. Thank you for sending us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that in you, through you, we can resist the devil. Thank you for living that perfect life. You truly did not have to suffer. But you suffered for us. So we look to the cross this morning and we say thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we come to the table today, may we profess your saving death on the cross until you return. We do this in worship to you. Thank you. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.